Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did God make the Old Covenant and then the New Covenant? The answer is because God wants to teach us two very different lessons. So what is the lesson of the Old Covenant? The Old Covenant teaches us that we will utterly fail even if we have God with us. And what is the lesson of the New Covenant? The New Covenant teaches us that we will utterly succeed because we have God in us. When God made the Old Covenant with the nation of Israel, He gave them a set of promises. Previously, I explained the promises in great detail, so let me suffice it to say now that God gave Israel every physical blessing you could imagine. God even dwelt with Israel. But Israel still failed to do God's will. Why? Because God didn't dwell in the Israelites. On the other hand, God made the new covenant with the church and gave it a set of spiritual promises. Again, I've covered those in detail. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, you will never see where God promises to the church the physical blessings that He gave to Israel. And yet the church is succeeding at fulfilling God's will. Why? Because God is dwelling in the church. So God even dwelt with Israel, but they failed. God is dwelling in the church, and we will succeed. Let's prove this point beyond a shadow of a doubt. Please turn with me to Romans 11. This is the book of Romans, chapter 11. We'll read verses 7 through 27. This is Romans 11, 7 through 27. And we won't read all of it for the sake of time, but it starts out by saying, "What then? The nation of Israel has not obtained that which it seeks for, but the church has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. But that is according to as it is written. God, hear this, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, even to this day. You will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. But I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery." So Paul calls it a mystery, and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. If you are, then you're going to become wise in your own conceits. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So that's the mystery revealed, is that blindness in part has happened to Israel for a very specific purpose. It is until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And then, after the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and then all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, when I will take away their sins. That's the new covenant. And astounding is too common a word to describe what that passage is truly revealing. Do you understand what God inspired Paul to write? The scripture actually says that under the old covenant, God purposely blinded the Israelites by not giving them the faith to see their salvation. Did you know that Jesus, Yeshua, means God saves or Savior? But let me ask, did the Jews recognize Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, as their salvation? No! But why not? Because they were still blind. They were still under the old covenant. Please don't think I'm picking on the Jews. The Jews, in fact, the whole nation of Israel, are God's chosen people. We just have to understand that God chose them to prove a point to the whole world. And what is that point? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11 to begin to see this. Now, all these things happened to them, speaking of the Israelites, for examples. God chose the nation of Israel to be an example. But what is that example? Well, it's sad to say, but here it goes. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, so that we do not make the same mistakes. Now let's turn over to Romans, the 9th chapter, verses 3 through 8. Romans, the 9th chapter, verses 3 through 8. I could wish, and this is Paul speaking, I could wish that I were cut off from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul was a Benjaminite, so that means that he was an Israelite. And he's saying that he wishes that he were cut off for the sake of his kinsmen, so that they could be grafted in. And he says, these are Israelites to whom pertain the covenants and the promises, of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. Not that the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are, and I'm inserting this word, but it makes sense here, neither because they are the physical seed of Abraham, are they all the spiritual children. But in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not all of the children of God. But the children of the promise, these are also counted for the seed. So again, the children of the flesh are the ones that came through Jacob. But the children of promise are the ones that came through Isaac. Now let's go on to Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 22 through 28. This is Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 22 through 28. It is written that Abraham had two sons. So God is talking now about the two covenants, and he's comparing the two. And it's wrapped up in this allegory of the two sons. The first son was Ishmael, who was had by a bondmaid, and that was by Hagar. And then there's Isaac, who is by a free woman. Ishmael was born after the flesh, but Isaac was born by promise. What it means is that when Ishmael was born after the flesh, that's because Abraham took it into his own hands with the encouragement of Sarah to have a child which was not promised. But Isaac was promised, and this came through a miracle. And this is an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, and this is Ishmael, which leads to bondage, represented by Hagar. Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which is Israel, and that is the nation that now is, and is in bondage with her children. Why? Because they're still under the old covenant. But Jerusalem, which is above, this is spiritual Jerusalem, this is the church, and this church is free. This Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So in other words, this is the new covenant. Right there it said that this was an allegory about the two covenants. One was the old covenant that leads to bondage, represented by Hagar, represented by Ishmael, who came by the flesh doing their own thing. And the other is the new covenant, which came through promise. This was by Isaac. And Abraham and Sarah had this child Isaac by a promise, and it was miraculous. Now let's turn over to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 29. This is Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 29. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now what is this promise that Paul is talking about? Well, he's talking about the part of the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. This is Genesis 12, verses 1 through 7. And this says, this part of the promise says, in your seed, Yeshua HaMashiach, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That is the whole focus of Galatians, the third chapter, especially verses 8 and 16. And let's read this. This is again Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 16. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In your seed shall all nations be blessed." Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He doesn't say seeds as in plural, it's singular. "And to your seed, which is Christ." Another way of reading that is, "In your seed, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, shall all nations be blessed." That is the gospel. It is the good news, because through Jesus Christ, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Our ultimate human potential is to be born into God's family as spirit-composed, eternal children of God. The old covenant was never supposed to fulfill God's ultimate purpose for humanity. Forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, righteousness, and eternal life, in other words, salvation, come only through Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the new covenant. There was a very different purpose for the old covenant. The purpose for the old covenant was to lead us to the new covenant. Please, let me repeat this, because this is so important to understand. Our ultimate human potential is to be born again. We were born of the flesh the first time, but we will literally be born of the Spirit the second time. That's what born again is all about. It means being born of the Spirit, spirit composed, eternal, literally children of God. And the old covenant was never, ever intended to fulfill God's ultimate purpose for humanity, which is to be born again into God's family as eternal, spirit composed beings. Forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, righteousness, and eternal life, which means salvation, that comes only through Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the new covenant. The purpose for the old covenant was simply to lead us to the new covenant. In the next program, I'm going to continue to reveal exactly how God used the old covenant to lead us to the new covenant. God will eventually take the blinders off of Israel, as he will for the rest of the world, so that everyone can see that in Christ shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Thanks for joining me on this program. May God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.